Well, they're not in the windows anymore. The Magi have made it all the way up to our crèche. They weren't there on Christmas Eve. Actually, a day early. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Epiphany, and that's the day when we tell the story of the strangers from a faraway land who arrived in Israel looking for the Messiah, the new King of the Jews. They knew the way by following a star, which led them not to a palace, but to the home of humble peasants. The strangers came to honor this child, God and man made manifest, while the child's own king tried to kill him as a threat to his power. That's the story the church tells tomorrow. Today is the 12th day of Christmas. Though we will not be singing about 12 drummers drumming or even about one little drummer boy, today's story is about how the density of normality keeps even truly lovely people from leaving what's familiar to live as if everything is different once God shows up on the scene. Normality. Normality is something we are taught, carefully taught, from childhood on, and it's peculiar and particular to every family, every community, every culture. It's the way things are. The rules of life, written and unwritten. It's the system. Now, some of the things we're used to do indeed morph and change. The pace of technological advances these days can make our heads spin. But the deeper systems, especially those that dictate how economies work, which humans are inherently valuable and worthy of having power, and which humans can be oppressed, manipulated, and discarded, those systems are deeper than any deep state your favorite conspiracy theorist has alleged. What's been normal for humanity for thousands and thousands of years? The prophet Jeremiah was active in Judah some 2,600 years ago, and the biblical writings of his time describe how people faced war after war, dread diseases, anxiety, natural disasters that wiped out entire cities. Most people were poor, while just a few had privilege, power, and riches. Of course, those with privilege, power, and riches had no interest in changing normality, and those without it were convinced they couldn't change it. That was normal life then, and guess what? It's normal life now. The fact is that we humans, deep down, believe what's normal for humanity is a world of war, disease, anxiety, poverty, and despair. But here in our culture, in this country, we are lucky. We have a moment in our culture where a different reality, a different possibility breaks through the system of what's normal. It's a time we say we love. The holidays. Christmas. I usually am one of those who joins in the chorus of people who fuss and bother at the merchants who put their Christmas wares out just as soon as the back-to-school sales are over. But I'm even more dismayed at how quickly so many of us let the Christmas spirit dissolve like sugar in the rain as we throw the trees on the curb and get back to our normal life. Of no parties, no presents, no lights or singing or feasts, no visits with family and friends, and for a lot of Americans, no church until the next holiday season. Nope, back to normal. Why do we so willingly revert back to normal on January 2nd every year? It's like too much peace on earth and goodwill to all will get in the way of what life is really about for us. So just as we're taking down the lights, our church wants us to listen to this merry, jolly reading from Jeremiah, who is not known for being a jolly guy. This reading from Jeremiah is about what God wants for God's people all the time. And what God wants for us is joy. Jeremiah declares 5 times in 7 verses that God's joy is for humanity to be happy, full, safe, cherished, Remember the definition of joy. Divine joy is when we celebrate that others have what they need, even if we don't have it yet, and even if they're our enemy. Joy is what the incarnation is all about. First and foremost, God's joy that humanity is getting what we need in the person of Christ. Jesus, God the Son, left his Father's throne because it brought God joy to come hang out with us, to enter our normal world full of misery caused by our normal systems, to show us how to be abnormal. Okay, I can tell how old you are by whether you laughed at that joke. All right. To be abnormal. To be abnormal. Jesus' joyful purpose was to bring justice and fairness to all humanity, even though we didn't give it to him, and it cost him dearly to give it to us, this justice and fairness. Jesus came to share in God's joy that so we too can be abnormal, to look for ways to use our lives to make life better for others. And I know this is abnormal because as a child, as a kid, I was very, very normal. My mother says that growing up, I had impeccable timing. She'd be doing some chore like bringing in the groceries or fixing dinner or stuffing envelopes, whatever. And just as she brought in the last bag or put the food on the table or licked the last stamp, how many of you remember licking stamps? I'd waltz in all cheery-like and say, hey, need any help, Mom? Happened every time. That's the only one of thousands of examples my mother could give you on how I am not like God. Well, except Jesus kind of did the same thing when he was 12, didn't he? He caused Mary and Joseph a lot of anxiety by not showing up where he was expected. Though I'll readily admit that when I disappeared, I was not debating theology with scholars. The difference between Jesus and me is that Jesus immediately learned that it was his joy to be obedient to his parents so that they weren't anxious. At 65, I'm still learning what that might mean. And I'm so grateful that I still have the opportunity to relieve some of my parents' anxieties, especially those of old age. Anyway, Jeremiah tells us that God comes into our normal world with an abnormal system, one that seeks good for others, welcoming and sheltering people and bringing them home from all the ends of the earth, the healthy and strong, but also the blind and the lame, those who are crying and screaming women in labor. God's abnormal system ensures that those who are weak will be safe with no fear of domination and oppression or violence by the strong. Because in the Lord's system, the strong find joy as they make sure that those who are weaker than they are have what they need. God's abnormal system is for the journey of life to be a pleasure, a homecoming down a straight road beside flowing brooks. God's abnormal system is for all people, including the poorest, to be healed, to have plenty of food, to dance in the streets. God's abnormal system challenges our normal system with the purpose of changing things until what's normal for humanity is for every day to be like Christmas Day. So how can we put Christmas Day out on the curb so fast? I think the answer is pretty simple. We don't really believe. Remember, to believe means to give our hearts. We don't really believe. We don't really give our hearts to a future where God has delivered on the kinds of promises that God made to Jeremiah. We don't really believe. We don't give our hearts to a life where Christmas changes how we live the rest of the year. We don't really believe. We don't give our hearts to the conviction that God can or should challenge our normal systems, or that it's even possible to have peace and goodwill on earth all year. So just like we shove our festive tree into one dark corner of the year, we put Jesus back up in heaven until next Christmas, and then we get back to normal as quickly as possible. Going into debt to have more and more stuff so that someone else gets rich, fighting and destroying each other, resigning ourselves to the reality that many children are going to go to bed hungry tonight and rejecting people just because they're different than us. Both Paul and Jeremiah call us out on that. Paul insists that those who believe in Jesus believe in God's abnormal system and are convinced that God's power works in them all the time in this life now, and that this power manifests in how believers live out their faith every day. Jeremiah calls people to give their hearts to God's abnormal system and to be the faithful remnant, to have faith in God's purpose, to seek joy by giving each other help, being mutually interdependent, rejoicing in creation, and by, well, we did it all Advent, we can do it Christmas time too, by how they accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. The faithful remnant wants to be abnormal, to be people who, like Jesus, find joy when every sick person receives healing. Every weak person is given a strong arm to lean on. Every hungry person has food, and every wanderer has a home. The faithful remnant are not unrealistic about life. From the life of Christ, we know that the shadow of the cross will fall across God's system every day. But even Jesus' journey to the cross was a source of joy to God, because through that and the resurrection, humanity and God were reconciled forever. When Jesus left his Father's throne at Christmas, he brought us the gifts of spiritual blessing, of being God's children, of seeing God's power at work in everyday life. And this gift is a Christmas present we can open every day of the year. Well, the truth is, as you take your poinsettias and we unplug these Christmas trees, take down the chrismons, yeah, our decorations will soon disappear. But so let's have no intention of being normal after that. In a world that's addicted to normal, let's follow God's abnormal system. Let's be like Jesus, letting the power conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength help us seek joy, to be Christmas gifts we can give to the world every day of the year.